Chapter 7 Morning Shadows. Their fears are morning shadows, huger than the shapes that cast them. Lord Alfred Tennyson, to the Queen. He does get a little real sleep eventually, crushed between Bull and Dorian in a bed barely large enough for two people under normal circumstances. It's surprisingly comfortable. Either that, or he's so worn out trying to keep up with Dorian that he could have slept on the floor without complaint. As comfortable as it is, for whatever reason it is, he realizes when he wakes that he can't get up without climbing over someone. He's sprawled half on and half beside Bull, with Dorian a warm weight against his back. Cullen's not foolish enough to assume this is coincidence. But it doesn't bother him as much as he would have expected. So long as Dorian doesn't wake up and decide they have to talk about it, at least. With that thought in mind, he climbs over Bull instead of Dorian, even though it's twice as difficult. By the time Cullen stands, Bull is awake, and likely was the second Cullen moved. His eye, half closed, follows Cullen around the room, but neither of them speaks as he finds his clothes and pulls them on. It's not quite dawn, the room barely light enough without a candle. He pauses at the door to look back, and for a moment, he's struck by the absurd impulse to crawl back into the bed, to squeeze himself into the gap between Bull and Dorian. Not to sleep, and not for sex, but just to be wrapped in their warmth, body pressed between theirs. Bull is still watching him. And Cullen forces his mind back to the real world. The Inquisition is the only thing standing in Corypheus's way, and Cullen commands its army. He doesn't have the luxury of personal indulgences. He taps his fist to his chest in a casual salute to Bull, and heads back to his office, where he finds his desk covered in half a dozen letters that are actually important, and 10 times that many whose writers think their concerns important, but which really aren't. The former are easy to handle, because he only has to handle the problem itself. The remaining letters are more difficult, because he has to handle the touchy noble on the other end of the request, as well as the problem itself. He leaves the worst of those for Josephine, with only a twinge of guilt. About the time he clears off his desk, Marin arrives with a new stack of papers that, of course, need his immediate attention. The morning presents its usual array of challenges, and before Cullen's quite ready, he's late for his game with Dorian. He's briefly tempted to skip it, certain that it will be awkward, even if he can't guess the extent of that awkwardness. But he can't very well avoid Dorian for the rest of their lives without attracting attention he doesn't want. Their lives might be measured in weeks at the moment, but everyone, from Marin to the Inquisitor, knows to look for him in the garden if he's needed around noon. His careful, rational arguments don't keep his feet from slowing as he crosses the garden, walking up from behind Dorian to postpone the inevitable as long as possible. Perhaps, if he's close enough before Dorian notices, no one will be able to hear whatever comment he makes. Cullen sets his feet down carefully, and returns all greetings with only a nod, determined not to draw Dorian's gaze until he's under the gazebo itself. It doesn't work out quite the way he intended. His carefully neutral greeting startles Dorian into bolting to his feet, lightning already jumping between his fingers, and Cullen realizes he hasn't just walked up behind Dorian, he's snuck up on him. A dangerous move with any of the Inquisitor's inner circle. And he supposes he should be grateful Dorian has enough control to damp the lightning down before it does more than spark. The chessboard and all its pieces went flying when Dorian stood, and half the garden's occupants are now staring at them. "Good morning," Dorian says, his hands dropping to his sides. "If I wasn't awake before, I certainly am now. You'll pardon me if I don't seem properly grateful." It's a perfectly innocuous comment. Cullen reminds himself as he kneels to gather up the chess pieces. For Dorian, it's positively tame. By the time they have the board set to rights, everyone else has returned to their business, and Cullen's nerves are steadier. Dorian makes no immediate or obvious references to the night before, and his hands don't linger when they exchange pieces. Well, they don't linger any longer than they did yesterday morning. Dorian, apparently, has no intention of giving up teasing him. "So I see we're pretending nothing happened," Dorian says as he makes his first move. None of the others wandering the garden are close enough to hear. Cullen knows that, just as he knows that looking around guiltily will draw far more attention than just about anything else he could do. His mouth still goes dry. "I would prefer that," he says cautiously, looking over the board with more care than is really warranted at this early stage. "You needn't look so concerned," Dorian says. "I'm not going to shout it in the middle of the Herald's rest." The look on his face when Cullen glances up isn't entirely enthusiastic. "But you want to?" Cullen hazards, sliding one of his pawns forward. "Not especially. I don't see where it's anyone else's business." "But," Dorian smiles crookedly, "but I left Tevinter so I wouldn't have to hide my preferences. Just because I don't want to read about it in Varric's next book," he gives an exaggerated shudder, "doesn't mean I want to hide it completely." Cullen winces at the thought of Varric getting so much as a hint of what's going on, the conversation making him more uncomfortable by the minute. What he really wants is to continue what he and Bull began, only the most essential boundaries defined, and everything else left unspoken. The logical part of him recognizes how dangerous that could be in the long run, so he forces himself to say, "It's not because you're a man, you know." "I know," Dorian says, "or at least, I suspected your reticence had more to do with my homeland than with me personally. Though Bull has no such mark against him, and you're just as unwilling to let anyone know that your relationship with him is more than friendly." "People will make assumptions. If it ever comes known that Bull and I..." Cullen stops, not sure how to go on. "Yes," Dorian agrees dryly. "They'll assume you're having sex, which wouldn't be that shocking." "It's not the sex I'm concerned about," Cullen says, reminding himself to be glad that at least Dorian is keeping his voice down. "And why would they know anything more? Yes, some will speculate about who does what to whom, but so what? Is your authority really so precarious that it can't handle a little prurient speculation that will pass within a few weeks? I think you overestimate the novelty you would present." Cullen's head is starting to ache, and he pinches the bridge of his nose between thumb and forefinger. "Can we agree to disagree on this?" To his complete amazement, Dorian replies instantly with, "Of course." When Cullen stares at him in shock, he smiles. "Your secret is safe with me, Commander. Truly." Thank you. Cullen continues to stare at him, waiting for a caveat that doesn't come. "I believe it's your turn," Dorian says, waving his fingers at the board, "unless you're prepared to concede." "When I'm winning?" Cullen asks out of habit, his attention captured by the movement of Dorian's hands. He tries to focus on the game, with only moderate success. As they continue to play, his eyes stray again and again to Dorian's fingers. The nails are neatly trimmed and short, but Cullen remembers them against his skin. They felt long as talons last night, and he has the marks on his chest to prove it. The third time his gaze lingers too long, he gets caught. With an expression of complete innocence, Dorian runs a thumb across the nails on the same hand and says, "They don't need to be long if you're prepared to work a little harder." He knows Dorian well enough to recognize that the double meaning is deliberate. Cullen fights back a blush, only half successfully, and reminds himself that he is not a child. While he may have little experience with the games Bull and Dorian play, that doesn't make him an innocent. As casually as he can, Cullen says, "I don't recall complaining about the length." He keeps his gaze on the board, ostensibly for the air of nonchalance it gives him, but mostly because he suspects he'll blush even harder if he meets Dorian's eyes. Dorian laughs, head back, throat bared. At the edge of his vision, Cullen watches him and remembers the taste of his skin.